This is Yarrow, and welcome to a Master Your Mindset brand new audio with two key topics to cover today. The first one is inevitability thinking, and linking to that, we'll talk in the second part about optimism, in particular, learned optimism. So, this is a big topic, and it's very interconnected, and I want to dive straight into it. It's a little bit subtle, though. This is an area that we really are looking at mindset. This is very much about how you interpret the world around you. So I'm going to begin this by saying that everything I'm about to teach you is all about the frame you construct around the way you interpret reality around you. So it's how you see things, how you interpret what you're doing and the results you get. And it's very, very important to control this aspect of your interpretation because it's the key to gaining power over everything you do and then turning the way you look at the world to a more beneficial way to get the results you want. So you might call it framing. Framing is a concept taken from NLP and many other areas. It's the way I like to put it, it's simply your ability to change the perception and how you interpret things going on in your life. And in this case, how you interpret the results you're getting with your blogging business. So how does inevitability thinking fit in with this? Inevitability thinking is just a way to apply a much more better and powerful frame around the process you go to do whatever it is you're doing with your business. To break it down, inevitability thinking is simply the concept of knowing what you're going to do will inevitably return the result that you're shooting for. So the goal that you have is inevitable. It will happen. In order for you to believe that, though, obviously this is not just wishful thinking. This is not hope or positive affirmations. This is actually being convinced and knowing that it's inevitable you will get the result. For that to happen, you have to be confident in the actual system you're applying. This is where inevitability thinking really becomes much more than just a wishy-washy mindset concept into something that's actually tangible and can affect your results, because you apply a practical system that's proven to work, you learn the system, you understand the system, you've seen it work for many other people, and you then know if you continue to work on that system, you will get the result eventually. The other key ingredient for inevitability thinking to work is to control the conditions around the system so that it can be executed. Controlling your environment is one of the key parts of this inevitability thinking process, because you need to create an environment, control the conditions so that when the system is executed, it can't help but succeed. There is no other way. There is no other option. So if you're thinking about building a blogging business, if you know the system is good content plus good marketing plus a product that people really want using email marketing and a blog platform like WordPress and going out there and getting some joint venture partners and doing a product launch, if you know each of those processes and understand the system and how they go together, then you create the conditions for them to be executed. So you get the right software, you create the right content, you learn what you need to learn about your audience, you see what they want, you create what they want, and then you sell it, you can see that that is a system that works, and you know the tools to make it work, so you control the conditions, control the environment, and then it's just a case of, wow, all I have to do is create this product and tell people about it, and I make money. Now, you may not get it in the same time frame as other people have, you may not do it in exactly the same way. The important thing is you know, though, that the system works. And because of that, the only variable that could be fallible in this process is you. Now, sometimes you start a system and you don't like it and you realize it's not the system for you and then you quit. More often, though, people will start a system being excited about it and then they face setbacks, they don't get the same results, they focus on their weaknesses, they don't think they're smart enough or clever enough or a good enough writer in the case of blogging, and all these self-doubts come in, which end up being the focus of their energy instead of actually focusing on executing the system. That's what's important about inevitability thinking. It allows you to turn your focus, that frame that I was talking about, towards only the things that help you to actually execute the system. The beautiful thing about the brain is you can only think about one thing at once. I've tried very hard to actually think about two things at once, and the only way that can happen is if you can hear two voices in your head at the same time. That's not a good sign. That's very likely insanity, and I doubt you can get away with that. So in our case, you have only one train of thought that you can focus on at any given moment. Now, you might look at this as an A-B split test. You can decide to think about things that will hinder your results or things that will help your results. Inevitability thinking is about learning a system and then coming to the point where you actually believe that it's inevitable. By executing the steps in the system, you will get the result. And that's all you think about. Your brain is only on that one process. It's a little bit robotic. It's perhaps a little bit single-minded to the point of being potentially crazy in a good way. But the power of it is it allows you to only be very, very positive and practical about your results. It removes the fear. That's what I love about inevitability thinking. If you actually really, truly adopt this, you can't spend your time on all the things you're afraid of not working or the reasons why it won't work, because all you can think about is the studying and the implementation of what you're trying to do. It's not something that you can instantaneously become good at, though. This is something where you have to get a fairly strong knowledge of what you're trying to do. You have to start actually practicing it, so you start seeing some results and get a sense of moving forward. And then as you do that, you start to know, you know what, this is actually working. And I can see how it's inevitable that if I keep doing this and keep improving as I'm going along and keep changing, if it's not working, it'll get me to where I want to be. If you remember the audio on the lean testing process, lean product development, I told you how it was very important that you're able to pivot. You can change when things aren't working. Now, positivity training ties in really well with this, because in lean product development, you might start a blog on one subject and it's not working very well. You might see that as a failure, or you might see that as one step towards building a blog that works. So you know this subject doesn't work. Let's find a subject that does work. We're still implementing the same system. We still know that this system works because we have seen it work for so many other people. We just need to keep tweaking this aspect of the system to get it to work. But it's inevitable, if we keep tweaking and keep changing, that we will get the result that we want. That's the inevitable part of this process. So it's really a mindset thing. It really is about how you interpret what you're going about doing. Now, you could begin the process of building a profitable blog and creating a teaching product and going through my training materials with the mindset of, I will do everything that Yara's talking about. And even when things don't work exactly how they work, I'll keep trying new things until the right thing works. And I'll pick the right pieces of the puzzle until the system works for me. Or you could go, I'm not sure about what I'm doing here. I'll choose a topic and write some content and see if it works. It's not working. I'm not getting any traffic. I'll never make money. This is clearly not the right model for me. I should go back to having a job. There are two totally different ways to interpret the same system that's been put in front of you. One will get you somewhere, and one will get you back to the thing you don't want, which is having to work for someone else. It's only the decision to view something differently to another option. That's why thinking inevitably, if you really, really want what you're going after, and I hope you're very, very passionate about building a profitable blog, then you know that it's inevitable you will have a blog that makes you money. That is your goal, and that's how you can think. So just to break this down really quickly, there's only three things you need to worry about with inevitability thinking. Number one, you have to choose a system that works. This has to be a system that has worked before, and it's reliable, it's dependable, it's something you can learn and execute. There's no point, obviously, thinking inevitable about something that's not proven to work before, because it may never work. And it doesn't matter how inevitable you think about it working, it won't get there. So you've got to have something that's at least proven to be effective somewhere, somehow, before you go and start thinking about it in an inevitable way. But once you have your system, you're going to learn it and study it. And the second step is you become focused only on execution. So step one, you're choosing a system that works. And step two, your focus is only on execution of that system. You're not thinking about emotional variables around the system, and you're not responding emotionally to outcomes as a result of doing things, which is very difficult to do, because you see traffic going up one day, you're excited. You see traffic going down the next day, you're not excited, you're unhappy, you're depressed, you feel like giving up. it's a roller coaster being a human being going about building a business. So by focusing on a system and focusing on execution, it eliminates a lot of that emotional baggage that you go through as this fallible human being. In step three, in order for you to do this and focus on execution, you have to control the environment around the execution process. So for inevitability thinking to really become inevitable, you have to control all those inputs that affect you as a person as you go about trying to go through step one and two, so following a system that works and executing it. By that I mean there are things you're going to do every day that are going to have an impact on your ability to execute. It could be physical things, like we talked about all of the energy management issues in the other mindset audio about having ultradian rhythm, 2-hour bursts of work, eating well, sleeping well, recovery periods. So you got to control that part of the environment in order to be able to execute the system. You got to look at who you talk to on a daily basis. If you're surrounding yourself with people who've never done what you want to do, who don't inspire you and in fact try and bring you down because they're afraid of you succeeding, that's not a positive impact on this environment you're trying to control. It's going to hurt your ability to execute. So who you talk to, how you think, what you put into your body, and how you control your environment, your work processing, your schedule, all is very, very critical to your ability to complete step two, which is focus only on execution. So just to sum up there, one, the system must work. Two, you have to focus on execution. And three, you must control the environment around your ability to execute so you only have the right kind of influence. And the right kind of influence is positive influence that helps you execute. So I think you can see how inevitably thinking as a concept works, but you might feel it's a little bit intangible, a little bit difficult to execute. What I find is by pairing inevitability thinking with positivity training, you get a really good combination to make this work. Because at the end of the day, inevitability thinking is just a positive reframe of things going around you. And that's where positivity training comes in. It's not something that you're going to necessarily have a natural inclination to do. You get better at it the more stronger your results are, the more confidence you have. But until you start to build and have a kind of a background of experiences of success, you don't have that confidence there. So all you really have to rely on is your natural positivity, which can be on a scale anywhere from quite negative to quite positive. It's really a lottery of where you fall on that in terms of your genetic disposition to being negative or to being positive. It's like whether you're outgoing or more introverted. Those things are determined at birth. You can't do anything about them, but you can train yourself to be more positive. So if optimism is really important for this process, but you're not necessarily born a natural optimist, you need to find ways to adapt the behaviors and the mindset and the way of thinking that an optimist does. It's good for your health. It's good for your performance and your business. It's good for pretty much everything. I actually have a story about how I came across this concept of optimism, in particular, the idea of learning optimism. When I was in university, I came across a book called Learned Optimism by an academic named Martin Seligman, who published that book in 1990. And I picked it up in the sort of late 90s, just out of curiosity, to be absolutely honest. It was sitting in the library bookshop. It sounded interesting. And I was always interested in psychology and in that sort of area. So I actually bought that book and read it, which is a bit unusual for me because I didn't like many of my textbooks in my subject at university, but I did enjoy that one, which I purchased voluntarily. Now, it was around this time that I was also experiencing one of the most challenging periods of my life, dealing with panic attacks. Now, anyone who's had a panic attack knows what it's like, and it's actually quite difficult to explain if you haven't had one. It's not like anxiety or just general anxiety or general being nervous. It's like you're suddenly very, very afraid and there's no logical reason for it. Your body reacts in extreme fear. You might have things like sweaty palms, racing heartbeat, hot flushes. I personally had this weird sensation like I had to kind of run away. I became hypersensitive of things around me, like all my senses on my body were overstimulated. It was not fun. I didn't like them. And what I really found bizarre about the experience was not having a logical connection for why I was experiencing them. It didn't make sense to be sitting in the back of a bus and have a panic attack, or to be sitting in a lecture hall listening to a class at university and getting a panic attack, or even just sitting on the couch and getting one. There wasn't a reason for it. I wasn't performing. I wasn't in a social situation that would cause anxiety. It was just random. So as I, of course, started to look for solutions to this problem of panic attacks, I was introduced to the concept of CBT, or cognitive behavior therapy, and I was received a few books as well. And the big lesson I learned, which ultimately helped me to cure my own panic attacks, was to start monitoring my thoughts. So become self-aware of how I talk to myself, your self-talk. Now, this is where optimism and pessimism came in. And it was interesting, having read Learned Optimism at this time, and seeing that you can be born either an optimist or a pessimist and be somewhere along the scale, and not being in control of that, it was natural for me to start watching how I interpret the world. So I was actually doing a meta-analysis of my framework of interpreting my events and everything going on, and I was quite negative. This was actually the root cause of my panic attacks, was the fact that I'd spend big chunks of my day thinking about negative things and reacting to events in my life in a negative manner and linking them all together and making them very much a permanent part of my interpretation of myself. So if I got a bad grade, it was because of my lack of skills, my lack of studying and working hard. It was something permanently wrong about my personality. And you know, that's it. I was just stuck like that. And the same thing went from social circumstances. I couldn't make friends or get a girlfriend because there was something about me that was not desirable. Therefore, it was permanent. And that was it. And I'd link it all together. And I'd go down these negative thought patterns, sometimes for, you know, hours. And that built up. And of course, eventually it built up with panic attacks, because I was basically threatening my own life in a lot of ways by thinking so badly. So my body started to freak out, and that's what the panic attacks were. So as a result of picking up Learned Optimism and also CBT training, and just really becoming more self-aware of the way I treated myself in my thoughts, I discovered that this needed to change. Now, that was a very powerful realization, because it made me the conductor in how I experience life. I was no longer just going to let myself think down these negative pathways. I wanted to actually work to change them towards something positive. Now, it does take work. What I found was, once I began this process, there was like a trigger. I would start thinking and reacting negatively, and then I'd be able to switch it. It would take some time. Like, initially it took me maybe an hour. I might be thinking negatively and then go, whoa, you just spent a whole hour thinking negatively. You should stop that. Let's, you know, think something different or change your interpretation. Everything you just said doesn't have to be that way. And then I'd get better. It might take me half an hour to catch myself doing it, then 10 minutes, and then 5 minutes. And eventually I became so good that I would actually catch negative thoughts while they were being made and go, no, it doesn't have to be that way. Why are you interpreting it that way? It's not helping you. Let's look at the world in a way that helps you, which obviously ties back into inevitability thinking. Inevitability thinking is making a choice to make the way you see the world, interpret events in a helpful way that actually gets you towards what you want, rather than hurting yourself, which is just silly, but it's what we do. Now, there's a couple of things I want to tell you about Learned Optimism, and in particular, Martin Seligman's studies that I think are very, very interesting as it relates to your own reflection. Now, as I'm sure you're going to do, you're going to look at yourself and see whether you default to optimism or default to pessimism, and just start analyzing yourself during the day, which is something I certainly encourage you to do. Let me explain something from the Learned Optimism movement. So one of the things with Martin Seligman's original studies was he actually studied the concept of learned helplessness, which is an idea that a recurring negative event is out of a person's control. So basically that means if you're doing something, and this is what the tests he did during his learned helplessness studies, he noticed that some people, some of the subjects, would blame themselves for negative outcomes, while others would blame the experiment for setting them up to fail. So it's like, no, I'm at fault. No, it's just the conditions that I'm currently operating that are at fault. So basically, some people had learned to become helpless, where others were more in control of their interpretation of their environment. It was a conditioning thing. He then took that and started to study optimism, because he basically noticed that those who thought it was not themselves that were at fault, but it was just the conditions that were at fault, were the optimists, where the pessimists always were much more taking the personal responsibility for results. So he then turned his studies to learned optimism. And what he noticed were some interesting things about what he called your explanatory style. So this is, once again, just a way of how you interpret the world and the events and your place in it. It's your frame. I'm going to read you out now three key characteristics of how you can interpret the world. And this is from Martin Seligman's studies of people's explanatory styles. Now, as I read these, I want you to think about how they can relate to the process you go through when building your business and doing anything with building an online income stream, building a blog, and so forth. So these are different explanatory styles. This is from Wikipedia, so you can look it up yourself if you go to Learned Optimism inside the Wikipedia entry. But this is what's important. So the three things are, number one, permanence. Optimistic people believe bad events to be more temporary than permanent and bounce back quickly from failure, whereas others may take longer periods to recover or may never recover. They also believe good things happen for reasons that are permanent, rather than seeing the transient nature of positive events. Optimists point to specific temporary causes for negative events. Pessimists point to permanent causes. Number two, pervasiveness. Optimistic people compartmentalize helplessness, whereas pessimistic people assume that failure in one area of life means failure in life as a whole. Optimistic people also allow good events to brighten every area of their lives rather than just the particular area in which the event occurred. And third, personalization. Optimists blame bad events on causes outside of themselves, whereas pessimists blame themselves for events that occur. Optimists are therefore generally more confident. Optimists also quickly internalize positive events, while pessimists externalize them. So, I think you can see how much more beneficial it is to be in an optimistic framework. I really find the aspect of pervasiveness interesting. You can imagine if you're building a business and you're having trouble with content creation in your blog and you're not getting good results. If you're pessimistic, you will take that as an indication of everything you're going to do to build a blog won't work. Where if you're an optimist, you say, okay, well, maybe the content creation part I'll need to work on, but I'll be much better when I get to the marketing phase and the monetization phase. It's not like everything I do is going to be bad. And same with permanence. The permanent aspect might be, I've chosen a topic, it's the wrong topic, and it's always going to be the wrong topic because I always choose the wrong topic. With the optimistic viewpoint, I chose the wrong topic once. It's the only time I'm going to choose the wrong topic. The next topic I choose will be the one that actually works. It's so simple to reframe something from a positive to a negative outcome. And it's like an A-B choice. You can choose it's good, you can choose it's bad. Now, I don't want you to think of this as false positive thinking. It's not just thinking positive for the sake of thinking positive and fooling yourself that you'll one day get a result. That's why you have to tie it back to the key points with inevitability thinking. You're trying to use a system that's proven to work already. So that's the foundation for this to work. The optimism you apply, and you go through positivity training so you start to interpret the world through optimistic eyes, allows you to work a system long enough to get a result. So you're taking a foundation that's proven to work and applying it with principles that allow you to stick to the path and have a positive outlook on everything you're doing, and that's how you get a successful online business. So there you have it. This is actually the fifth and final Master Your Mindset audio in the new series of five audios I put together, along with the 10 original Master the Mindset audios that I produce for Blog Mastermind members, which you should have access to and hopefully have listened to already. The most important one from the original series, I believe, is the 80-20 rule, which you hopefully have listened to. And now I'm adding these five new ones to that concept. We've got the theory of constraints, the sprint technique, lean product development, energy management, and now inevitability thinking and learned optimism. It's important that you see how all these concepts connect together. There is a very wonderful overlapping of each thing I've taught you in these audios. And if you listen to just these six audios, so the five new ones plus the original 80-20 rule one, you have a combination of tools to give you such an advantage in your mindset that I believe is not just a good way of thinking, but also a very practical tool set. A lot of what I talked about in all the different audios so far were very tangible. The sprint technique is about focusing and getting things done and eliminating distractions. Energy management is about focusing on two-hour bursts of time. The theory of constraints is isolating the right task you should do today and the right order of the task you should do them in. And of course, the 80-20 rule makes sure that you're doing the right stuff that gives you the outcome you want, both personally and professionally. So all of this connects together. All of it is powerful. All of it is effective. Lean product development helps you when things aren't going well because you can fail fast and get results quickly. And now that you've got inevitability thinking and learned optimism or positivity training, you can work on entering the whole process with the mindset of success, knowing that you will interpret events as a stepping stone towards success rather than just another sign of things not working for you like they've always done in the past. In this case, the past is not connected with the present. It's just the experiences you've gone through and learned and you're building on. They're not a representation of the result you're always going to get in the future. So I hope you've enjoyed the Master Your Mindset new audio series and got something from them. I encourage you to listen to them all again. There's a lot in there that you can take on board and apply, and you may not remember it all. There's definitely some subtle differences between each of these different techniques that you learned, but they all work well together. They're all powerful. I also encourage you to go and do further study on each of these techniques. Really, all I've done is given you a light introduction to each of these principles, and there are entire books and courses from each of the original researcher or academic or author who put a lot of work into proving that these concepts are actual effects in life. They're natural things, and they've done the research, they've studied experiments, they've done the research too. It's not just me sort of saying this because I've experienced it personally in my life, which I have. These people have gone much further and looked at studies in academic fields and business fields, in general society conditions, and seen these things working and helping people, and people who don't even know about these techniques applying them and getting results. So they're definitely worth listening, and they can change your life. That's all I have to say about this. I, again, thank you for listening to the Master Your Mindset audio series. I hope you also spend some time consuming my productivity and mindset guide, the e-guide that goes with these. So there's the actual printed document that I wrote up. A lot of the concepts I've talked about in the mindset series are written about in that guide as well, and I've weaved them together with different other subjects. So I think you'll find that very beneficial if you haven't had a chance to go through it. And that's it. So thanks again for listening. My name is Yara Stark, and good luck with your mindset. Remember, you are the strongest force for your own success. And if you're not on your own team, no one else will be. You have to be a cheerleader for yourself. So get out there, think right, think better, get real results, execute, and build a profitable blogging business that allows you to quit your job, have some real freedoms, and construct the kind of lifestyle that you really want. My name is Yarrow, and I'll talk to you again very soon. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.